Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
In other words, the answer is yes, but they don't want to say it because they're gutless. Got to say it.
If you want to be a Republican leader, you have to have a working relationship with President Donald Trump.
You have to keep your mask on at all times, even when you're eating.
Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace?
Joe Biden and George Wallace were friends. In fact, he bragged about it.
Joe Biden is a better person than that.
But as a Southerner, I'm offended.
The shelves were bare. Pretty much all the produce is gone.
How about that? Have you experienced that yet? That's happening across the country. The supply chain, the costs are up if you can't find it. Hey, happy Thursday. What's to be depressed about? Plus, we're going to get some snow this week.
Yay.
See, now you get to go to the store and maybe find some empty shelves. I've never seen a shortage of eggs or bread or milk so far, so apparently we're still pretty good in that area. We can survive a couple of inches of snow tomorrow.
I get my bread from Missouri Baking Company.
Nice.
I get it on the hill. Oh, and by the way, this was a story that Denise had. Chris Gambaro, who is the owner of Missouri Baking Company, got out of the hospital yesterday. So, because there was a big fire around Christmas time.
Okay.
And he was very injured, but he is out of the hospital now.
But he's back now. That's good.
Good.
Glad to hear that. Glad he's doing well.
And their bread is fantastic.
You need to bring in samples, I think.
Yeah, no kidding.
Don't you think?
All right. Or chocolate drops, which I also get.
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Well, so now we're all hungry. We've taken
yeah,
care
thanks.
Of that. Thank you. You can't start talking about food at this hour of the morning without the hunger setting in. And we've talked about the shortage of available food. Particularly in the downtown St. Louis area. That's been ongoing. That's got nothing to do with, although the pandemic contributed to it probably, because a lot of places used to have 24-hour access, and a lot of those restaurants stopped doing that because they couldn't get the staffing for it. So you got to wonder what role that's playing in all this. And coming up, we're going to talk to Jim Talent, former Missouri senator, anxious to get his thoughts on this growing dispute in D.C. over his attempt to end the filibuster, since he was a United States senator and obviously served in the House before that. And he's heard the two sides of Joe Biden, right? The one where he was completely opposed to the idea, and now he suddenly thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread and is in the same category with Cori Bush. So we'll talk to Jim about that. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Kim St. Ange. Of course, you remember her. She worked at Channel 4 for many years as a reporter. We're going to talk about a couple of stories that she brought up to me that are going on around the state. Some of them, of course, have to do with masks and whether or not local universities are going to be requiring those as the school districts are. Next hour, we're going to talk a little bit more about those school districts and some of these mitigation requirements that are going on. Several more districts have voted. I believe Parkway, now Rockwood, a few others are going to extend their mask mandates. For what purpose? How are they tracking this and proving that it's making a difference? Because we know in some districts where they've got all kinds of mitigation, they've got higher rates than anybody else. Maybe a little arrogant on our part to think that we actually have some control over where this very contagious virus ends up going. So we're going to kick that around at about 8:20 and talk about the importance of these upcoming school district elections. Back to the empty shelves for a minute, Carl.
Yes.
Let's play cut number 14, because this is not just a problem in the St. Louis area. Play that for us.
Honestly, it looks like March of 2020, when everybody was stockpiling and the shelves were bare. Pretty much all the produce is gone. There's maybe a few saute peppers. I think I saw some artichokes. That's about it. It's kind of scary. It's just domino effect. I mean, just complete total domino effect. No workers, supply chain, Omicron.
They don't have any trucks. Nobody's been able to get what they need.
Yeah, supermarket shortages all over the place, and winter storms, supply chain, Omicron, whatever it is. That was just a little montage we picked up from around the country with these things going on. I saw today where in those inflation report that came out yesterday, highest, sharpest jump since 1982, which we've covered last hour. At the fastest pace since 1982. That was coming out of the last worst president administration, which was Jimmy Carter. And now we're currently in the worst, which is Joe Biden, as reflected in his, I don't know, what is it, 30% approval rating? 25% among independents. So it's even lower among independents who might go out and vote. So the train is coming down the tracks for November of 2022. And how much damage can they do between now and then? I think that's a fair question. How do you stem that damage? If you missed our interview last hour, there was a op-ed in the paper talking about bringing back Hillary Clinton. If that's not a mark of desperation, I'm not quite sure what would be. But I did. But the inflation numbers importantly broke down what surged, like used car prices up 37%. That's stunning. Meat prices up 14%. Eggs, milk, all of it through the roof, hitting people right in the pocket. So whatever they might have gained from the government giveaway programs during COVID is right back out the door. Even if it forced higher wages, it's affected everything. And even Anthony Fauci yesterday said that finally admitted, the late night comedians joke that COVID finally broke him. He finally admitted we're not going to be able to avoid this thing. Everybody's probably going to get it. Fortunately, Rochelle Walensky confirmed for us yesterday that the deaths from the Omicron variant are down 91% from what they were with the previous variants and Delta and the original COVID, which kind of backs up what they saw in South Africa. So there's odds are, if you didn't know somebody before that had COVID, you probably do right now. You probably know somebody who's been impacted by it. We have folks here at work who are out impacted by it right now, for sure. But you can live a life in fear, or you don't have to. That's for sure. Let's get to our guests, please.
Yes.
Yes. Missouri Senator joining us this morning. Jim, how are you?
I am doing fine. And how is everybody in your shop?
Hey, you know, for the most part, we're all doing pretty good. I think we do have a person or two here in the building out on quarantine right now, as just about everybody knows someone, right?
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. And that, at least, is standard public health policy. We isolate the sick, not the healthy. That's what they told me all those years I was doing those issues, which we've discussed here, you know, my experience with them. Yeah, if you're, and that's good policy, you know, in a regular flu season. If you've got the symptoms of the flu, you know, stay home.
Yeah.
We don't want you to spread it. Now, we're having some issues because so many people are out that it's really affecting a lot of things, including healthcare institutions, right? It's hard to get these things staffed. So, but, it, you know, it'd be nice to have a, you know, a rational and balanced public policy as we finish up the pandemic, I hope.
Yeah, I wonder, and I don't know who's looked into this or how, if it's even something you could quantify, but the whole issue near the end of last year was the deadlines that were looming for healthcare workers and other people. If you haven't had the double vaccine, you can no longer be employed here as of X date. In some cases, it was August, September, October of last year. I've never seen a number, Jim, on how many people we ran out of that frontline, those frontline jobs. And now suddenly the demand is back up. More people are ill for not just COVID, but other reasons they're in the hospital. And they suddenly have a worker shortage that's only amplified by the fact that some of those employees are also sick and having to take 5 or 10 days off the job.
Yeah, and in places where the schools aren't open, this is another thing. Again, these are discussions that I would have with people, like when I would do war games with pandemics. We'd have, you know, you'd sit around, you know, you try and learn. So you talk with public health people, and they would say, well, one of the problems with closing schools is that a lot of healthcare workers, hey, they have children. And a fair number of them are single parents. So if the kid isn't going to school, how is mom or dad working?
Right.
Right. Somebody's got to take care of the kid. So these things, the point is that the strategic goal in pandemic response is to minimize total human harm over the life of the pandemic. Okay. Which includes, obviously, the immediate, you know, sickness caused by the disease, but also the kinds of harms and deprivations that occur when you interrupt too radically for too long a time the normal patterns of life. And these are human harms, Mark. I mean, it's the effect on a kid not to go to school for a year.
Right.
It's the loneliness, the increased abuse that can occur, the addiction issues, and we're now seeing all these, plus other healthcare issues that are not managed because people can't or get to healthcare, or they're afraid to. Right. So how many cancers have gone undetected? You know, how many diabetics have not been able to manage their care properly? So you have to balance all of these things to have a good pandemic response, and we have focused since the spring of 2020, entirely on trying to suppress, or almost entirely on trying to suppress the spread of the virus to the exclusion of these other equities. We're going to be living with the results of this for a long time.
We are. Yeah. We'll be covering this story for many years to come. And also the next variant and the variant after that. And there just seems to be no end to it. Jim, having been someone who studied this for as long as you have and the policy surrounding it, what do you make of the argument now by many medical professionals that I've heard that this is sort of the natural course of these things, and in an endemic situation, the virus weakens but kind of hangs around, and we're going to be dealing with this moving forward, just not at the critical health rate that we were for the initial COVID virus. Is that correct? The correct way to put that?
Well, one of those, I mean, that's really two different conclusions you're stating. And one of them is I think unquestionably true that pandemics end when immunity gets to the point that the R rate, the reproduction rate of the virus, falls substantially below one. So the virus cannot find enough targets because too many people have immunity. And so it becomes endemic. It's still in the population, but it's no longer spreading. And that's when you say the pandemic is over now. Okay, but you still do have the virus around. And we have coronaviruses circulating. There's like four or five, they're around all the time, right? influenza viruses are different than other viruses. In certain respects, that's a good thing. In certain respects, it isn't. They mutate more easily than other viruses do. Now, the other point you're making is that typically the viruses, the influenza viruses, as they mutate, will become weaker because, but more contagious, because that's evolutionarily good for the virus, right? It spreads easier, but because people get less sick, they continue to move around. If you get really sick from a flu, you got to stay home so you're not spreading it, right?
Sure.
And my understanding is that does tend to be the pattern, but it's, you can't absolutely count on that. You could get a mutation that was more severe, but typically you don't. That's my understanding of it. And this gets into, in the weeds of virology that I don't understand. But yes, I mean, this is not an abnormal pattern, what we're seeing with Omicron.
Well, yeah, we're starting to reach that point, because I know more people now that have either had it or have it than I did a year and a half ago, it seems like. You heard about it a lot. Didn't know anybody who had it.
It's definitely spreading.
Yeah.
It has to be more contagious the way it's spreading. Now, the other issue is how long immunity, either vaccinated or natural, lasts and how protective it is. So there's one phenomenon that people don't talk about, but, I mean, it certainly makes sense when you think about it. So you get a virus and recover, you get some immunity. If it's still circulating, and you go out, and let's say after 3 or 4 months, your immunity is no longer strong enough to keep you from actually getting infected, but it does kill it right away. So you get a viral load, but you kill it. Well, now you've re-upped your immunity, right? Because you've had to repel it again, and your body now reminds itself of what the virus is like. So that's one of the reasons why natural immunity, even though in an abstract sense, it may not last so long, can get reloaded, if you will, through that fashion. But it would be nice if we had a CDC that had actually been like studying this. Don't you think I said this in a column about 3 weeks ago. I would really have been good if the CDC had decided to study, maybe in the spring of 2020, how long natural immunity lasts to COVID-19. But evidently, they didn't feel that was worth. Because remember, Fauci says a couple of months ago, he says, yeah, we got to start talking about that. We got to discuss that.
Right.
What?
What? Even now? Jim Talent, our guest right now. Jim, before I run out of time, I have to get your reaction to the president's news conference down in Georgia. Carl, go ahead and play cut 9, please.
So I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis?
So you're apparently a supporter of the Confederacy if you don't support the Federal Voting Rights Act, the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, Jim.
Well, and forget about that. If you don't vote to get rid of the filibuster.
Yeah.
So, so now Christian cinema is Bull Connor or Jefferson Davis. Politicians are not, most of them, are not easily insulted personally because of the world that we're in. And some of them have thin skins. Too many of them do. But this really goes beyond the pale. I mean, this is, and it's incredibly tone deaf. It's not going to help them politically. If I assume the president is acting rationally from a political point of view, and I'm not assuming that, but if he is, then he's looking at numbers in his own base that shows his own base is demotivated. Well, why might they be demotivated? It's been one failure after another. And so he's thinking this is going to get them to support him, but it's not, because the rhetoric is so over the top. It's extraordinary, really. I've never heard a sitting president in a set piece speech. This is not an off the cuff. He's mad and he says something like this. It's terrible. And it's not going to help him at all politically, and it's not going to change anything in the Senate.
No, it doesn't seem like it, even though they're moving down that track. Yesterday, Tom Cotton took to the floor and reread Chuck Schumer's speech opposing getting rid of the filibuster just a few years ago. I'm not quite sure how, with a straight face, they can now argue that it's a life or death situation.
Because they've worked themselves into such a bubble. To some extent, this is true of everybody in Washington. They really think that voters are incredibly dumb.
Yeah.
That they won't realize. Now, voters don't get into the weeds, and I've used this example. I doubt many of your listeners could name the provinces of Afghanistan.
Right.
But they follow the things that affect them. I mean, they do really understand things. And they know the position that Biden's taken in the past. So, you know, the day before yesterday, Joe Biden is calling himself Bull Connor.
Yeah.
Because that was his position, the fervent supporter of the filibuster.
It's,
come on, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. That's what you meant to say there, right? Jim, thank you as always. We appreciate it, my friend.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. Former Senator Jim Towne. Come on, man. Yesterday, you were Bull Connor. Today, you're claiming that Joe Manchin is Bull Connor. Look it up. Google it if you don't know who that is. How about that? Coming up, we're going to talk to former Channel 4 reporter Kim St. Ange and what's going on with some of these masking policies at local universities. We'll be back in just a minute.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
To take this time to remind you that we need to make sure that we're wearing our masks. As of right now, we are even wearing our masks in the cafeteria. So kind of like if you've ever been on an airplane recently, you have to keep your mask on at all times, even when you're eating. So what you'll do is you'll drop it down just to take a bite, and then you'll put your mask back up over your nose, even in the cafeteria. So the only time that we can be mask-free at this point is when we're outside.
Yeah, that's what's going on in the Kirkwood lunchrooms right now. Somebody recorded that audio there. When are we going to get the flap? That's what I want to know. right? The mask with the little flap on it that you can just fold down and eat and then fold it back up, because that's what they're asking for, right?
Yeah.
You I saw kind of a joke the on. Other day with like a shirt that had the same kind of thing, like to pull it down to get your jab.
For the next booster?
Uh-huh.
Booster 4, 5, 6, 7,
just wear sleeves,
you don't
little
have...
pockets on the shoulders, yeah. You can snap down and...
You have to roll your sleeves up? What are you talking about? That's old school. That's something else. Anyway, that's kind of how ridiculous it's gotten. Now it's even moved into the lunchrooms, even though the statistics don't back up that this is making... a difference. Are some places going to see the fallacy in that? I just don't know when for sure. Hey, let me get to my guest. Kim St. Ange joining me this morning. We've had her on the show before, a former reporter over at KMOV. Kim, how are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks for being part of the show this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You heard me talking about masking there a little bit. I saw where the University of Missouri board has voted on this against the idea of mandating masking, which, I'll be honest, in a higher education institution like that, I was a little surprised.
I was very surprised, honestly, especially coming in Columbia, Missouri. I went to school there. I was shocked. But then we're seeing such a difference in how universities here in the St. Louis area are handling the same issue.
Yeah, like you have to wonder what the other universities are going to do. I mean, I can't imagine them not doing that at Wash U or SLU or some of these other colleges.
I think what's so ludicrous to me, well, the Kirkwood thing is absolutely ridiculous. To take your mask, I heard about that. Take your mask off while you take a bite and then put it right back on. It defeats the whole purpose. But I was reading about this, how SLU, you know, sent students home with a COVID test over winter break. They have to have a negative one to return to campus. Okay, on top of that, they have to be vaxxed and boosted and wear a mask indoors. But then, okay, if you go to Washington University, first 2 weeks virtual, you also have to have a negative test, must be vaxxed and wear a mask, but, you don't need a booster shot. It just is absolutely ridiculous. It's like they're throwing it at the wall, the spaghetti at the wall, and just seeing what sticks. It makes no sense. And we've seen, like you said, Mark, we've seen that these studies are coming out. New York Times ran an article about this not too long ago, saying especially with this new variant, those cloth masks that I would say 99% of people I see are wearing those, that those don't even protect you against Omicron. So it defeats the purpose of it. It doesn't make sense. It confuses and, quite frankly, stresses out these students who are paying thousands of dollars to attend these universities to get a quality education, and this is what they're instead dealing with.
Yeah, you know, Kim, it makes me question the intentions of some local news organizations, and I'm not calling out Channel 4 because I know you used to work there, but just in general, like for example, the other day in the out in the Wentzville School District, somebody brought up some very telling statistics that if you compare apples to apples, the Wentzville District to what's going on in Hazelwood, Hazelwood has every single mitigation policy you can imagine versus Wentzville, where they were mask optional. And the rates of positive cases among teachers and students, the rates among the number of people who were out of the school building because of the illness were much higher in Hazelwood than they were in Wentzville. But yet I haven't seen a single one of the local newscasts, and maybe I haven't watched all of them, go out and do that story. I mean, somebody's got to point out the ridiculousness of us thinking we've got this figured out when it's obvious that we don't.
I think that's a big problem with local news. I pushed back on that when I was reporting at KMOV. Why aren't we talking about this? Why aren't we discussing adverse reactions to the vaccine? I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. You can do whatever you feel is best for your body, in my opinion. But the problem is local news is asleep at the wheel. I don't even know if actually that's a good description, because I feel like we're hearing the information, but for whatever reason, they don't want to report on it. And it's a disservice to the public, because people who are watching the news then only hear that one side, and they use fear-mongering language that can exacerbate really what's happening. So then it scares people, when we know that fear is the biggest driver to shift how public operates. And we're seeing that play out right now. I think it was, Marcus, situation, I'm trying to recall the state, but it was a woman, actually a teacher, who remember put her own child, in the trunk of her car after he tested positive to COVID-19 because she herself did not want to be exposed.
Yeah, I saw that story. I mean, that's amazing. And it's obviously done out of misinformation and horrible parenting on top of that. But like yesterday, I saw a headline from the Associated Press that they're going to change the way they report on COVID now all of a sudden, because the number of cases are spiking because we're doing more testing and because this is a more contagious disease. So now the Associated Press will no longer emphasize case counts like they did for years and years up until now.
It's just so ridiculous. And the CDC constantly changing what they're doing. It's just, I personally don't understand how anyone can listen to all of this or just think about how much these rules have changed and think, you know what? That makes sense to me. This must be helping the situation.
Yeah.
It's just illogical to me.
Yeah, it's very true. Kim St. Ange, my guest this morning. And, you know, Kim, I was watching I was in Jeff City last Wednesday when the session kicked off down there, and I've been trying to pay attention to what they're doing. I knew that among the bills that they had filed were bills that would ban the teaching of critical race theory as part of curriculum, maybe give parents a little more power over curriculum. And the hearing down there got a record reaction from parents, it sounds like.
That's what I heard, too. You know, critical race theory is really seeping into so many districts, and it's not just in St. Louis City or St. Louis County. It's creeping into districts in St. Charles County, which we would typically think are maybe a little more protected from this. But, you know, they're hiring people like Francis Howell, hiring people to come teach staff members about this. And I think the problem, too, is that they're hiding it. It's not as overt as, oh, we are teaching critical race theory. It's using words like inequity, which would mean equal outcome, versus inequality or equality, which means equal opportunity. And so you might be looking at the child's curriculum and not see it because they're using different words, in my opinion, almost trying to hide it. And to me, you know, being a Christian, faith is very strong for me. You know, this idea of critical race theory is anti-biblical. It teaches oppressed versus oppressor. It teaches, frankly, kids to hate each other and to judge each other by their skin color. And I think the other important bill that I'll be curious to follow is kind of this Parents' Bill of Rights, which basically gives parents more control over the material that's given to their children, and in some cases would allow the parents to sue the school district. That could get kind of hairy, in my opinion. But I do think that we've seen a lot of books, very sexualized books, that are actually in libraries and, you know, middle schools and elementary schools, that in my opinion, I would be very uncomfortable if I had a child that age, you know, having him or her read that material. So I do think parents need to have more control, because these districts right now, it just seems like they've had free rein over what is going on. And, you know, the child is your child, right? This is not up to the school district to dictate every single thing, right? We're paying tax dollars to these school districts.
Yeah, when I was in college studying communications law and studying issues like obscenity and all of that. And I remember the definition being, well, I'm not sure what it is, but I know it when I see it. Right? I remember that from the Supreme Court. And now we're in a situation in the Rockwood District where the Eureka Police Department is now investigating some of the books on the shelves down there, but they're not allowed to make the determination. They've had to turn it over to Wesley Bell, the county prosecutor, and it's now in his lap to determine whether or not some of those graphic images rise to the level of obscenity. So maybe a parent's bill of rights is exactly what we need.
I think so. And then I know they're also talking about being able to recall school board members.
Yes.
You know, I do have a lot of respect for school board members. You know, they must take a lot of heat. That would not be an easy job. It's not something I would particularly want to do because of how intense it would be. But at the same time, I mean, that is such a crucial position, and you are held accountable. You're making big, critical decisions that affect thousands and thousands of children. And I do think that if someone says, you know, I will do this, I will do that, and they're not living up to that, I do think there needs to be a system in place where we can say, look, you need to go.
It's a great point. Kim St. Ange, listen, I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time on Thursday mornings. Looking forward to having you on a lot more. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you. Have a great day.
We will talk again soon. Kim St. Ange, great fresh voice here, and love getting her on. And she's working out of the news business these days and able to express her opinions, and love having her on here. So we're going to get to more on the school districts, by the way, in the next hour. Hope you can hang around. We're going to talk to somebody who is one of these parents who's fed up, who is stepping forward, and for the first time ever running for her school board to make an impact. And she's one of many people that have made this decision. And we're going to do everything we can between now and April to make sure these folks are getting elected to these boards so parents have a voice. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Denise, did you recognize this song?
Watch her look at me like, are you kidding me?
Oh, is this Elvis?
Yes. Costello.
Costello? Yeah.
So the cancel culture has come down on Elvis Costello because of a song that he wrote 35 years ago about the conflict in Northern Ireland. And it's called Oliver's Army. It was about the Irish Catholics and all that in Northern Ireland.
And the Protestants.
And the Protestants and all this stuff.
The Troubles, they call it.
Apparently. Yeah, yeah. But in the lyrics, he used the N-word because it was something that his grandfather was referred to as...
A white N-word.
Yeah, N-word. The white N-word is the lyric in there. And in today's politically correct world... He's not allowed to say that 30 years ago.
He actually asked everyone to tell him.
So because it was brought to his attention as something that's not PC anymore, he asked them to retire his hit. He's asking radio stations not to play it anymore because he doesn't. When he said that when I die, they're going to talk about only two of my songs, and one of them is going to be because that word's in it. That's what he's worried about. So he's the latest. He's the latest in the bands to do that. Like the Rolling Stones have asked radio stations to stop playing "Brown Sugar."
Right.
Right. Madonna, Bruno Mars has been affected by it. Several bands have asked people to stop playing certain songs.
No one's going to stop or start playing Oliver's Army. That's not the big hit.
It was. I'd never heard it.
I hadn't
honestly.
Either.
And it was a number two song in England, but not over here. It's Allison. Every day I write the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Radio, Pump It Up. Not Oliver's Army, because Americans don't care about the Irish conflict.
What happened in Northern Ireland?
That's why it wasn't a hit over here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, don't know.
Not that we don't care about it. It's just that that's not going to be a thing for us.
I just thought I would bring it up since it seems to be the latest situation where people are kind of getting pressured to cancel this or cancel that.
But he canceled himself.
Yeah, very true. He did that. Hey, Sherry, welcome into the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mark. You know, there's this
big rapid increase in COVID, and are people really looking at why? Because, you know, if you're vaccinated, you can walk in anywhere. You can have, you know, be non-symptomous, or you could be contagious. I, on the other hand, am not vaccinated, but I have to test twice a week to even walk into work. And there were so many gatherings just recently where vaccinated people attended family gatherings and gave it to everybody because they were sick. You know, I mean, so what is causing this spike in COVID? Because we trust that vaccinated people can walk in anywhere and we're safe? I don't think that's the case.
Yeah, no, I you're right. I mean, I think more and more people are starting to accept that. Fact that being unvaccinated or vaccinated doesn't it shouldn't segregate you, for sure. Sherry, I appreciate the point. Thank you for calling in on that. So, all right, time for a quick break here. We are going to get to Rockwood School Board candidate Izzy Emig is going to join me again in the next hour, and we're going to talk about ranked choice voting, which you could be voting on this November to change the way we do elections in the state of Missouri. Is it good? Is it bad? We'll talk to Dave Rowland about it at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.